Well, I've got a scripture that's very, very relevant. It's from Job. This is from Job, and this is very relevant. How great is God beyond our understanding? The number of his years is past finding out. He draws up drops of water, which distill as rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds, how he thunders from his pavilion? See how he scatters his lightning about him, bathing the depths of the sea. This is the way he governs the nations and provides food in abundance. He fills his hands with lightning and commands it to strike its mark. His thunder announces the coming storm. Even the cattle make known its approach. And in the next chapter it says, and to the rain shower, God says, be a mighty downpour, so that all men he has made may know his work. He stops every man from his labour. And in a way, sometimes God needs to do that to get our attention. Bring some natural force in our way to see that he is the God, he is the creator, he is in control. And if nothing else, we've come here today to worship him because he is in control. There's lots of things to be thankful for. Let's just bow a moment in prayer. Lord, we praise you that you are in control. We praise you that you bring the sun and the rain. You bring the wind and the waves, Lord. And we submit ourselves to you today. We ask that you guide our thoughts and our actions. Help us be able to worship you and praise you and be truly thankful for the good things that we have, but also be thankful for what you have promised us and the relationship we have with you. Lord Jesus, we praise you because we can look at you. We can, when we look at you, maintain our strength because you are with us. Help us to call upon your name and keep our eyes upon you despite what troubles we have, what difficulties we're going through. Help us keep our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we are chosen. Thank you that you have called us by your name, Lord. Help us remember that and remember the glorious hope we have as we think about the gospel message and perhaps those who don't know this message. Give us that encouragement and boldness, we pray, as we walk out on waters with you, Lord God, from this day forward. Amen.
We're going to be reading in Isaiah in our kids' church today, and I'm going to read a bit in here. In the year that King Uzziah died, so not Isaiah, not Uzziah, this is the king. Isaiah's the prophet, Uzziah's the king. In the year that King Uzziah died, I had a vision of the Lord. So that's Isaiah speaking. He was on his throne high above, and his robe filled the temple. There were creatures with wings flying around him. They covered their faces, and they were flying about and shouting, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord all-powerful, the earth is filled with your glory." As they shouted, the doorposts of the temple shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I cried out, "I'm doomed. Everything I say is sinful, and so are the words of everyone around me." Then one of the creatures flew over to me with a burning coal, touched my lips and said, "Your sins are forgiven. You are no longer guilty." After this, I heard the Lord ask, "Is there anyone I can send? Will someone go for us?" "I will go," I answered. Isaiah answered, "Send me."
Here we are in the drama of Mark, the Dom. Yeah, with me? Drama of Mark. And you might be thinking, Mark? Who's Mark? Well, let me tell you a little, and I'll start by telling you a story. I will start with a lady named Mary. When I say Mary, Mary's a common name. I don't need our Mary here. But I'm talking about Mary of old. Popular name, not the Mary, the mother of Jesus, but Mary, the mother of Mark. She had a son who was named John. Now, sorry if it's getting confusing here. John. Okay, there's plenty of Johns here today as well. Not John as in John the Baptist. His mother's name would be? Thank you, Elizabeth. And not John as in the apostle who wrote the gospel. But this is John Mark. So we have John Mark, whose mum was Mary. And Mary, we might remember in the story of when Peter escaped from prison. Now remember we had that acted out recently. And as Peter escaped from prison, he went to whose house? It was actually Mary's house, the mother of John Mark. This is John Mark who we're talking about. And in Mark's gospel, there's this funny bit in chapter 14. And if you find it sometime or you're looking at Jesus' arrest, and there's in the middle of 14, there's these two verses about a man who's just in a loincloth, and he's following after Jesus as he's getting arrested. And then they try to arrest him. One of the guards grabs him by the loincloth, and guess what? Comes off, and he runs away butt naked. Possibly, and probably, that could have been Mark, John Mark, who we're talking about here, who flees the scene as Jesus is arrested. You pick up the story in Acts, you hear more of what he does with Peter and in Mary's house. You hear more about that. And then there's a drama in Acts about him, because Paul and Barnabas had been on a trip sharing and winning people to Jesus, and halfway through, John Mark left them. Came back to Jerusalem, they picked him up and they went to Jerusalem to see there, and they took him to Jerusalem with him, but Paul was adamant, we're not taking John Mark again this second trip. And it got so feisty that Paul and Barnabas split. Barnabas took his cousin, Mark, we find out his cousin, John Mark, and Paul takes Silas, is it? Good, you're with me. And then we hear about the story as it goes on. Well, in Paul's letters, you hear more about John Mark a little bit, because there seems to be some restoration that's happened there. He talks about Mark, John Mark, in his greetings in Colossians. In 2 Timothy, he says, he's been helpful to me. In Philemon, he calls him a fellow worker. And then interestingly, Peter, in his letters, finishes off one of his letters by saying that he's my son, John Mark. He's talking about a spiritual son. Interesting, isn't it? Here's this guy who spent time with the Apostle Paul, spent time with the Apostle Peter. He's obviously been following along Jesus and is at near, or probably near, the arrest there as we see it. This is Mark, John Mark, who we look at. And I encourage you to pray with me as we turn to these things now. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that as we look at this, that you will open our eyes to this drama of Mark. And Lord God, we dedicate this series to you now and ask that you may bless it, that you may grow us in it, and that we may be moved by it. We ask and pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, the gospel drama, and we're going to focus in on two things today, the gospel and spirit. Those two things out of Mark 1, 1 to 15. So just that short a bit. Now this is what I've called the drama of Mark, the Dom, and there's going to be 12 installments in it. It'll take us past the Passover into the first week of holidays. And then, not to be confused with something different, so that's first term, the drama of Mark, not to be confused with the Mark drama. Different thing. The Mark drama is something that I'm encouraging us and inspiring us to do in third term, which is going to involve 15 people, and it's going to be unmiked, uncostumed. Don't worry, they won't be naked like Mark, but they'll be wearing clothes normally, and they won't be miked. They won't actually, it'll be in an audience doing it around. Audience, theatre in the round, it's called, and no props. And they're going to share the word of God with us and with our friends and those that we invite. Something for in third term. But the gospel, and we say the gospel, some people say the gospel of Mark, but I think more correctly it's the gospel according to Mark, because it's the gospel of who? It's the gospel of Jesus, as it says here. The gospel of Jesus. It's about Jesus. And it's the account that Mark takes. Now, as I said, the author, John Mark, you can find out more about him in Acts. You could look at him in Mark 14 himself and check out if you think that's him. You can look at him in the letters of, or the end of the letters of Paul and Peter. But this gospel is action-packed drama. Full-on drama. And you may notice a phrase that keeps coming up. Immediately. Literally, it's and then, and then, and then, and then, and next, and next. That's what he keeps saying. So when you see the word sometimes translated immediately, he's saying and then, And then this is what happened. This is the drama as it's action-packed, moves along. 9 times he says that phrase is used just in the first chapter. Now, the presentation of Jesus is the action man and the authority man, but let's start first with what it says about the gospel and what it says about John the Baptist. So, looking there with me, I'll read the first 7 verses again. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way. The voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all of the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed, interestingly, in camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. He preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strands of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. But the start and the beginning of the gospel in verse 1. In verse 15, it says that you can believe in this gospel. So this is a gospel that you can believe in. It's actually, gospel means good news. It's an announcing. And there are other things that were announced through the Roman Empire at the time. But here is a gospel announcement. It can be preached, as John preached it, you might have noticed there. It can be proclaimed in verse 15. Jesus proclaimed the gospel, verse 15. And what is this gospel? It's of Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? Jesus is the Hebrew for Yeshua. It means God saves. It's Jesus Christ. So it's about the Messiah, Old Testament word Hebrew, Messiah. So this is a gospel that has a history. Back in the Old Testament, it has a history. It's a message from old, which, you know, there's been like 400 years of silence. Because from Malachi, who is 400 years before the gospels are kind of written, he talks about a messenger. And it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it say? The Son of God. Our world, Son of God, we think very simple. Second member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, right? We think of the Trinity and we think of that. Interestingly, here in chapter 1, we see the Trinity. You know, we have Jesus. We see his Spirit and the Spirit at work. We hear the Father's voice. In Roman times, the Son of God, Mark's world, is emperors call themselves the Son of God. Now, if you were to go to chapter 12 in Mark, you might remember this story. Remember the story about a coin? Jesus said, give me the coin. Who's on the coin? Remember the coin? Chapter 12. He said, render to who? Caesar's what's Caesar's. Okay, I've read that bit and we're up to here. There's the coin. That's what the coin looks like. See Caesar? He's got a big, strong nose like me. Good on him. Now, the writing around the coin says this. It's a common referenced as the tribute penny. And it says Caesar Tiberius. That's what it says on that side there. The other side it says son of the divine. Son of God. The divine Augustus. He was the emperor before. So we have Caesar Tiberius here. He's living in the common era, people call it. I call it the Christ era. The Christ era in 14 through to 37, Jesus' time and up into his death, and a bit after, his Tiberius is, sometimes they even call the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberius, did you know that? And this is Tiberius the emperor, and he's in a line of emperors that come along. You might remember some other emperors, Julius Caesar, kind of back at the beginning, another emperor, a famous Caesar was Nero, and his assault on the church. But Son of God, really, in Mark's world, is referring to what? A human figure, isn't it? In verse 2 then, as we follow on, we see that this is a character in history. It says there, Isaiah, verse 2, the prophet, it's spoken about this one to come, speaking about John, who's going to prepare the way of the Messiah. Isaiah is speaking about like 750 years before Jesus. And in verse 4, comes onto the scene, we meet John, John the Baptist. He's interesting, John, isn't he? This here, verse 4, John appeared and he's wearing pretty interesting clothes, isn't he? Well, his food, he probably could have lived in the Northern Rivers, okay? Protein, you know, we're going to have protein powder of locust soon, crushed up. You'll enjoy it. We have wild honey, not so much now. Our bee population is failing. He wore camel's hair, mightn't have got him into the Northern Rivers. There's a lot of animal lovers here. I don't think that might have cut it, or the leather belt. But here he is. He's proclaiming, what is he proclaiming? A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He's preaching a message of forgiveness. And verse 5, what's happening? People are going out and there's this mass confessing happen. People are confessing their sins in verse 5 all over in the Judean kind of countryside in Jerusalem. They're going to this place, to the Jordan River, and there's these mass confessions, mass baptisms, which are happening. In verse 7, interestingly, he says, he's preaching and he's saying, actually, there's one coming beyond me. He's one to look for. He's the Almighty One. He's mightier than me. Jump down to our second section in verse 14. We hear John's jailed, and then we hear Jesus proclaiming and going on to proclaim this gospel. In verse 15, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time has come, it's been fulfilled. The king is here, and his kingdom is here. It's come in Jesus. So turn, repent, and believe the good news, the gospel of Jesus. That is the gospel of Jesus being spoken of. Now, some application from that, and I want to move us to some application right now. 3 points and three questions I want to ask you, which may be helpful for you applying this. The first one is, what is the gospel according to you? Okay, this is the gospel according to Mark, but what is the gospel according to you? People will listen to what you have to say. The gospel is. And I want to encourage you to maybe even after this service, try to articulate what the gospel is to someone. Just take a minute or two to do that, or do that during the week. What is the gospel according to me? Say, can I share you what I think the gospel according to me is, and tell it to someone else here at church. Just try on them. What is the gospel according to you? What are you announcing or proclaiming or preaching? See, some Christians end up with a bit of a different gospel. Their gospel might be about baptism. Now, you must be baptized by this person in this certain way or at this certain mode. It has to be this certain thing, and that's all they seem to talk about. Or it could be a gospel of baptism of the Spirit. They start talking about you have to have this special experience with the Spirit, and that becomes the thing and the thing that they keep proclaiming and talking about to anyone and everyone they meet. It could be the gospel could become to some Christians about the version of Bible you've got to read. Which version is yours? Are you reading the right version? And you could get a big explanation. You could get preached out about what version you should read, why you should read that version. That becomes their message. That becomes the good news they want to share with you. Maybe not so good news for you at the time. What are you announcing? What are you proclaiming? What are you preaching? Second question I have for you. Third question is this. What are you winning people to? What are you winning people to? Now, that's one of our foci for 2020. We want to win people to Jesus. But maybe people are being won to music. You know, our music here is good. And people are, you know, you're saying, you've got to come along and hear our music. It's good. Okay, maybe it's our meals that we have together, you know, our fellowship. And you're trying to win people to that. You say, come, you should have a meal with these people. These people are great, these other friends and these church friends. Maybe you're trying to win people to our modern service. We're pretty hip here at ABCH, right? Okay, we're pretty modern, we're contemporary. Yeah, we've got it happening, haven't we? Maybe trying to win people to our modern service. Well, all those things are good, right? But it doesn't win people salvation. It's only Jesus and winning people to Jesus that will transform their life and what they need to be won to. In the end, that's what they need to be won to. Now, I've asked Alison to share a story about a lady who was won to Jesus very recently. She went to be with the Lord, but a little bit of her story and a little bit of her journey of how she was won to Jesus, because it only happened near the end of her life. And I've asked Alison to share a little bit and testify to that story. Thank you.
Thanks. I met Diane about 9 years ago. She was the lovely lady that brought Fifi into our lives. She's a child protection officer who worked for Docs in Ballina. And over the next year of Fifi coming to live with us, we had a lot to do with Diane. She visited our house probably 3 times a week as she took Fifi to visits with her birth mum. And then we worked together in court case for Fifi's plans for her future. And we've stayed friends over the years. She also brought Aiden into our lives. A lot of you remember little Aiden, and also our beautiful little Willow that we still have every now and then. So we've had a lot to do with Diane over the past 9 years, and she was impressed with our family, and she also is good friends with another family of ours, a Christian family who have many of their own children and have taken in other children as well, and she was very impressed and wondered why we wanted to do this and saw our children working so well together with us. As you see, my son Isaac is nursing our latest little addition, Jackson, who's going to be spending a few months with us while he grows up and will hopefully go and live with his birth mum. Diane, we stayed in contact with her socially as well. We started to meet with her and have meals with her, and she became friends with our whole family. She was diagnosed with cancer a couple of years ago, and the saddest thing for Di was that she was a single lady. She'd been married a number of times. Her beloved son had taken his own life about 8 years ago, that was, just after we got Fifi, actually. She was also out of relationship with her only daughter, who had taken the side of her very violent husband, who she was married to, and he had convinced the daughter to stay with him rather than go with her mother. Her only other son is at the moment in jail and has struggles with alcohol and addiction. So Diane was very much on her own. So when she was diagnosed with cancer, we felt devastated for her being on her own. She decided to move down to Coffs Harbour to be with her only granddaughter that she was in contact with and her granddaughter's mother. And when she was moving, I found out that she was loading the Pantech truck herself. And so I said to Greg, we need to help her. So Greg got Trent and Manning and Samuel, and they loaded the truck with her. And again, she was like just touched by the fact that someone wanted to help her. And yet, you know, she had done so much for these children, you know, that needed to go somewhere. Anyway, she moved to Coffs Harbour. Greg called in to visit her recently. She wasn't there but left her a card, and I'm not sure what Greg wrote in the card, but she messaged me and said that she had been overwhelmed with the love and kindness and what a blessing our family had been to her. We found out just after Christmas that she was told she had 4 to 6 weeks to live, and she was devastated and bedridden. So through Hannah, through friends of Hannah's in Newcastle, we contacted a pastor in Coffs Harbour, and we told her that he would be contacting her, and she allowed him and his wife, so that's Des and Ruth, they're an Ethiopian couple, So amazing, you know, impact it would have had having these black people come to her and share the gospel. So they brought morning tea and flowers. They prayed for her. They prayed throughout her house. They shared their testimonies, and she gave her life to the Lord that day. And that was the Thursday. On the Friday, I drove down to spend the weekend with her. As I pulled up in my car, she walked out of her house to greet me. And I said, "You don't look like a lady that's about to die." And she said, "I know, I don't feel like a lady that's about to die." And she'd had a miraculous healing at that time. And we spent the weekend together discussing heaven and salvation and what a blessing that is and how she can rest in that. And she sobbed as she told me that the day they came and visited her was the best thing that had ever happened in her life. So she died on Monday morning, and I'm going down this afternoon to be at her memorial tomorrow. But what it really said to me, and this was a period of 9 years before she came to salvation, but we all have a picture, a salvation journey picture, and each one of us is a little piece of a jigsaw puzzle in that picture. Now, you may only be a small piece in that picture. You know, Trent was a little piece and Manning were a little piece in that picture of her life, of how Christ ministered to her over the years. And, you know, we feel with these little children we take that leave our family that we're also a little piece of a puzzle in their life that hopefully will be their salvation picture. And Diane's salvation picture is complete, and she's with the Lord now. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Move story to hear, and if you want to hear more, let Alison share with you. I'll move us along in the story just to finish off fairly quickly. The baptism that we have and the story as it follows on, the mode of baptism can be debated about different things, whether it's a sprinkle, whether it's a dunk, whether it's a dip. Literally it means to dip. The Baptist world, or Baptist word really, is immerse we use. But John baptizes, he baptized in the wilderness. In verse 4, we see there people going out to him. It's a baptism of repentance. We see, just seeing where we're up to actually, sorry, in our pictures. A baptism of repentance. And repentance really is picked up in verse 15 as well. This is the idea of the turnaround in your life, turnaround in your heart. That turnaround points for die, as was shared just then. But in verse 8, I'll just highlight verse 8 to it, says, John says, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." See, there's a distinction there that's made, and the Spirit is the priority. Someone can be baptized by water, but actually not by the Spirit. Maybe something they just went along with, other people getting baptized at the time. There wasn't a point in their life where they had repentance and moved to Jesus and he moved their heart. And on the adverse, there could be a person that is baptized by the Spirit and not baptized by water for some reason. John says that there's one who will baptize you with the Spirit. The priority there is by the Spirit. In Jesus' case, we see that he has no need for repentance, but he is baptized then, and we move from John baptizing people to Jesus baptizing people. Jesus has no need, but he fully identifies with people, and we're shown that the Spirit is upon him. So you can't see the Spirit in people's, you can't see the Spirit come on people's life and be baptized by the Spirit physically. So you see later the fruits of the Spirit in their life, don't you? And here there is a sign, so actually John and the others who were there could see the sign of the dove, the Spirit is upon Jesus' life, and audio hearing of the voice of God to confirm it, that the Spirit is on Jesus' life. Now, I had a friend recently, he was in the surf, he thought he heard the voice of God. He was surfing down at Ballina, and he was near the in front of the rocks, a place called Speeds, and he was surfing with a mate. He felt an urge that he needed to pray. The Spirit put that upon his life. He just put up his hand and prayed, and his friend said, are you praying for the animals or something? And two minutes later, they hear a voice from above which says, There's a 3-metre white shark below you. We advise now that you get out of the water. It was a drone with a speaker on it telling them to get out of the water. Not the voice of God, but a drone. Here we see the voice of God confirming Jesus, the beloved Son, who is mentioned at the beginning, the Son of God. Well, moving to the Spirit's work, there's a place where John was baptizing, and possibly the place where this happened, most probably. Some people think it's further north, but I reckon this is probably the best place. The water's there, maybe not that clear and not that prestigious, but I got to visit there in 2018. In verse 9 we see, and I'll read us through verse 9, it says, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth, of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately," there's that word, "he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him." Interestingly, the angels ministering to him. We'll see more of that talk in Hebrews. "Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Verse 9, we see Jesus come from up in the north, and they say, if you want to get wealthy, that's where the kings come from. It's a fertile land. Wealth is from the north. Kings are from the north. If you want to go to the south, that's where you get wisdom. You spend time in the desert by yourself, thinking, reflecting. In verse 10, we see the anointing of the Spirit descending on him. Verse 11, it's confirmed by the voice. Verse 12, what happens as he's anointed and his ministry starts? He's driven out. Do you see that? The Spirit drove him out into the desert. That's who he was led by. The Spirit drove him into the desert. Why? Because Satan is going to tempt him at the opportune time. This is the beginning of his ministry. This is the leader of the movement who's about to start the movement. And Satan does his best. We don't hear the story here. We just hear that it's 40 days. You can follow up that story in the other accounts of the Gospels, the Gospel. But it reminded me here of some application and something to think about. We need to keep praying for our leaders. Now, I was very thankful that Jane prayed for me and for other ministry leaders. I'd encourage you, our leaders here on the leadership team, they're listed there in your newsletter, and our ministry leaders are listed there too. I'd encourage you to pray for those leaders. If Satan's going to do damage, he's going to aim fire at the leaders, because that brings most collateral damage across the scale, yeah? Please continue to pray for me. I appreciate it dearly. And I encourage you to pray for our leaders. We prayed for our kids' church leaders. Thank you, Greg, for doing that. And I want to pray for you all now, and then I'm just going to finish on some quick application. But that you may be led and guided, directed, driven by his Spirit. Lord and God, all of us here who believe in you need the guidance of your Spirit as we share the gospel with people and as we go about each movement of our day and how you might be saying to us, you need to step into this person's life and you've got a thing for us to do for them in their journey, in their picture of salvation. Lord God, I pray that you'll use us and that you'll use us in these steps to people coming to be one to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Friends, it's the wilderness, what it looks like. But from quick application in these 3 points, I want you to be attentive and attuned to what the Spirit is saying to you and what the Spirit has for you. And I have 3 areas for you to think about as we finish off. In church, in the community, in your life. Now, this week we've seen people walk down the road of and walking down that path of forgiveness. Because we heard tragic news of 3 children from the same family, plus their cousin, wiped out by one foolish incident of a driver. Terrible story, terrible. Parents who are driven to choose the road, and I believe the Spirit's driving them to choose the road of forgiveness. You heard some of their testimony on TV this week. We have a man who was driven by another spirit and spirits of alcohol. He was tempted away and he was driven to destruction. He is in need of confession. He is in need of forgiveness from those parents, from the community, but most of all from God. He needs to find forgiveness. Friends, you never know where the Spirit is going to lead you and what the Spirit has for you. Yesterday we travelled back from the Gold Coast and we were looking for this healthy fast food restaurant. You know the one I'm talking about? The healthy one. Okay? The green one. Olive, yeah? Okay, that one. And apparently it has this dish. We were looking for it. We went there to get that dish. We had to get off the highway different ways because it was on the other side of the road, blah, blah, blah. We got there. Guess what? They weren't serving that dish this day. It's out of stock for the month or something. I looked at Fee and go, why did we do all that? Anyway, we got an alternate meal. Then the family went to the toilet. We're about to leave. And this guy is looking at me intently, going, I'm kind of smiling. Yep, I know you too. How are you? Come on, brain, spirit, please remind me who this person is. I start walking towards them, drawn towards them. It's Trent. Not I'm Trent. He's Trent. I'm Trent and he's Trent. Trent was with us last week. Wayne's friend Trent and his two kids. His daughter noticed me. We have a conversation about prayer. I didn't know the Lord was taking me for that. I thought we were going there for the healthy food option, right? It has interesting things for you. Now, in church, you came here today. I don't know what the Lord has for you here today, but you need to be attentive and attuned to what he has for it. It might be taking a tissue to someone. The Spirit directed you and said, take a tissue over to this person. They're upset and they need it. It might be that the Spirit is saying to you, you should really pray with this person today at church. And the Spirit is putting that upon your heart. Now, you've got to be careful on desiring and working out what's my desires and passion, what's the Spirit's desire. The way you work that out is by getting to know the Spirit more and more. The things of the Spirit and what the Spirit and the Holy Spirit does. And what the fruit of the Spirit is. What the Spirit, how the Spirit moves in your life. Be attuned in church. What he's saying to you or what he's calling you to right after this time we finish. Or what he's calling you to now. In community, I came here on Monday. Monday is normally my day off. But I got a text message on Sunday night. I said I'd met Ben who was going to put up the solar, 7:45. I'll meet him here. I thought I was coming to meet Ben here. I got here. Ben wasn't here. I meet the guy hooking up the inverter to the grid. He's the same guy who hooked up the inverter to the grid at my house. We had another conversation. I had a conversation with him. The Lord brought me to meet Harley again and the other guy, Derek, who actually put up the panels as well. I had some conversation, gave him a brochure about how to encourage him to think about Jesus. The Lord had him and directed him to me. But in our community, as you go out, what has the Lord got for you? What is the Spirit? Who is the Spirit directing you to? It's a very exciting way to live, let me tell you. It's a very interesting way to live in your life. How is he directing me? It's an exciting ride and I want you to go on it this week. Let him drive you. Let him take you on the journey. And as we sung together, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. We sang that. Where my trust is without borders, where I walk upon the waters, wherever you may call me. That's my prayer for you this week. You listen to what the Spirit's calling upon your life. I'm going to pray for us to finish off. And we'll see, as we say amen, what the Spirit is calling you to. Are you ready to listen to him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you work in the lives of your people. We thank you so much for the gospel, the good news about Jesus, who came into the world, who came into the world to save. He grew up and he lived a life, Lord. He did those miracles and he performed those things. And he came to give his life upon the cross because he wanted to win forgiveness. That his message is a message about forgiveness, that you can be born again, renewed, you can be made clean and have a fresh start with God when we confess to you. And Lord God, we want to pray that you remind us of the good news of the gospel. We want to pray that the Spirit that you put upon us and that you put upon us like we see coming upon Jesus leads us, and we ask, Lord and Holy Spirit, that you drive us this week, that you may even drive us to places we don't want to go to, but Lord, that our trust may be that it goes beyond the borders and the realm and the boundaries that we have into the places where you want to take us. That we may walk upon as Peter walked upon waters, as he trusted in you. Lord, wherever you call us to, you call Isaiah as the kids remind us, are reminded of that today, and the call that you put upon our life right now as we move from this place, within church, within our community, and within our lives during this week. Lord God, lead us and drive us by your Spirit, we ask in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, Amen. If the Lord has prompted you to do something, listen to the Spirit. Listen to where he's pushing you to, where he's calling you to. If it's a person to pray with, whatever it is. But please go in peace, in love and service of the Lord Jesus. Amen.